You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So we're talking about the law of God in our conversation this afternoon, and we're going to be joined on the line by Pastor Chaukura. The law that has been passed down from generation to generation and then recorded in the Bible is important to us as Adventists. The entire law, the law is in its entirety. The commandments show us God's character and his love. And so today we're going to conclude our lesson by understanding the purpose of God's law. And we also want to touch on the new commandment that we talked about yesterday. What exactly is that new commandment? Does it do away with the commandments in the Old Testament? Let's talk about it. My pastor, good afternoon. Welcome back to the program.
Awesome. Afternoon. How are you?
Doing very well, Pastor. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Thank you, too.
Thank you so much. All right. So, Pastor, yesterday we wanted to talk about this, but we ran out of time. Can you speak to us a little bit about the new commandment? What is this new commandment that Jesus gives to us, and how does it affect the Old Testament commandments that were given in Exodus chapter 20?
Thank you so much. Yes, according to John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus was serving his disciples in the Last Supper before he was crucified. So he had given them an example of humility, service, and sacrifice by washing their feet and showing love. So he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you must love one another. The Greek rendition there, the kainos word, kainos, it means an elevated position of the law. There was the same law, but it was being elevated, building upon it, showing the correct application or the function and character of love, because these disciples, the immediate audience, they were living in an environment where the Pharisees, Sadducees, and all the scribes and the people of the law, they were putting hierarchies in their ways of life and showing the hierarchy which was not supposed to be, and they were demeaning the law by showing the wrong aspects of God's commandments. They were doing it actually without the spirit of love. So the word new there doesn't mean it's replacing the Ten Commandments, but it's actually building upon and energizing it, putting the actual meaning to life.
Yeah.
So the love that is talking, they are talking about is the agape, the love which shows care, forgiveness, service, sacrifice, and humility. That's the new commandment. Yes.
Beautiful. And now, when you think about the law, would you say that God came up with this law to control us? What is the purpose of the law?
Good question. The purpose of the law is to show God's character amongst us. Like Jeremiah 31, verse 31, it says, I'm going to put my commandments into your hearts so that we live like God. We will be in unison. When we walk, when we work, when we deal, it will be like God dealing. It will be like Jesus dealing. There's someone who was saying, if you want to check whether you are right morally with God, you check whether if Jesus was transacting with this person, well, how was he going to transact that business? Then if it's positive, you go on.
Yeah.
So the purpose of God's law is to give a framework or guidelines of life to live a moral, upright life like Job. Job 1, verse 1, there was a man in Uz who was upright, he was righteous, he eschewed evil, and he shunned to do wrong. That's the purpose of the law. It shows us that we are also not able to keep it on our own. We must remain connected to the vine. We are the branches so that we bear fruit. So it's a moral, something to do with moral personality, moral character, righteous living, and to be in tune with God, the Creator.
Right.
And it's showing his character and what he likes us to do. so that we are safe from harm.
So you mentioned something about having God's law in our hearts. What does it mean to have his law written on our hearts? We see it in the Bible where he says, I will write my law on their hearts. What does that mean? What does that look like? And how does that affect us?
Yeah, it's very profound. We are supposed to acknowledge that we are unable on our own to live righteous lives. We are supposed to humble ourselves before God, the author of peace and morality. We are supposed also to open our hearts and minds to his guiding principles every day. So we have that attitude of seeking him every day, seek his face. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face and pray and ask genuinely, then he will give us, we open our hearts to his counsel, to his guidance. That's, he will live in us. When Jesus says in Revelation 3, I will come and sup with you and you with me and live in your heart. Open the door of your heart, and the door of our heart has a handle which is inside the heart. So outside the door, there is no handle. So Jesus can't push it, he can't open if we are not willing. So the willingness for him to come in and we live with him, we are just together as the branch is to the vine. That's writing his law in our hearts.
Amen. And I suppose that even the way that you've described it shows that it has to become second nature. Our obedience to God's law becomes second nature. It's not us constantly fighting against our nature, constantly fighting against what the flesh wants us to do. But he's so kind to say, I will actually write my law on your heart.
Mm-hmm. So it's his willingness for us to be together with him. Mm. He must abide in your hearts. The Holy Spirit must work wonders in us.
Love that. Now, Pastor, before we close, there are those who believe that in our attempts to keep the Ten Commandments, and you know, this is often an attack on Seventh-day Adventists in particular. I'm not sure why the Fourth Commandment is so contentious, but would you say that obedience to God's law in a way is legalistic? How does our observance of the law differ from what the Pharisees were trying to enforce during their time? Are we legalistic the way that they were? How does obedience show up if we're not trying to be legalistic? We want to live under the grace of God. Does that mean the law no longer matters? How do we look at that?
Excellent. There's a very thin dividing line, my sister. Because if you want to live a righteous life, there are principles that you must go by. And those who do it without the spirit or the attitude that Christ wants us to do it, it will be legalistic. We'll doing it like the Pharisees used to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there will be the missing link. There won't be Christ in us. And we will be just doing it to show the world, yet in our hearts. Like the young man said in chapter 19 of Matthew, he was saying, I have kept all these commandments.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said, one thing you lacketh. So there was the lacking part of it, and he was like a Pharisee.
Yeah.
He was doing it legalistically on the materialistic approach.
Yeah.
Without the spirit.
So it becomes more of a performance than a lifestyle.
Yeah. So if we are not careful, if we begin to teach people about how to observe the seventh day without asking them to seek Jesus first, that he can control and help us.
Ooh,
he can actually lead us. Then the living of the commandments won't be painful, but it will be just like you are breathing. It's part of you. It will be part of you.
Right.
And you won't see any wrong in other people, or you won't be judgmental.
Right.
But if you become judgmental, then we are legalistic as well.
Right, right. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pastor, final thoughts. Let's come to the end of this conversation. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share with regard to the law of God and its importance in our lives, in the lives of every Christian?
Yes, thank you so much. When I began listening to God speaking to me and and accepting his word and his teaching, I was at peace for the very first time. Before that, I was always trying to live a righteous life on my own. And before the midday time, I would have gone wrong. Yeah. I would have committed sin somehow.
Yeah.
And I was always being troubled every evening that you didn't do this right, you didn't do this right, because I was Pharisaic, like in nature. Then when I accepted the spirit of the law, the spirit of God's love and how he wants me to live, I began to do to feel at peace with him. And that's what we need to do, find peace with God, ask him the best way to live. Then you won't have any problems with the requirements of the law. And the law, those who keep the law, they are connected with Jesus. It is just like a schoolmaster showing us where Jesus is. The law itself does not remove sin. And just like a mirror, it shows where you are wrong, and then you need an external power, the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's the right attitude. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And I pray that we do it that same, the same way, and then we will be at peace with God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, mm-hmm. Pastor, for coming through. Thank you for such a beautiful lesson on the law of God. Indeed, these are lessons that we will carry with us. The reminder that God wants to actually set us free through this law. He's not trying to control or bind us, but actually wants us to live our best lives. And he writes that law in our hearts so that it becomes second nature. Such a beautiful lesson.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, my pastor. Have a wonderful Sabbath ahead.
Same to you. God bless you too.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.